Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Steinbeck, and we have a great Bible devotion in store for you. We're in Dallas, Texas, Herb's House Coffee Shop, and we've got a great study brewing here, Kent. It's brewing. And
Well, you know I need it.
Well, I need it too. We're in verse 11, and this is after Jesus has turned water to wine, first public miracle. The title of this is Glory on Display. Glory on Display. And in verse 11, we read, "This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee," and here it is, "and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Kent, every miracle that Jesus performed was really putting the glory of God on display.
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of God is just simply the greatness of who God is. It's the attributes of God. It is really the sum and substance of the person and the being of God. And Jesus has come to reveal God to us. Colossians 1:15, "He's the image of the invisible God." And he will say later, "Thomas, he who has seen me has seen the Father." And that was carried out in Jesus' personal life, his walk, his sermons. But it was also manifested in the miracles that he performed. Each miracle was a display of the power of God and the compassion and mercy of God. And in John's gospel, uniquely, these miracles are referred to as signs. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they are referred to as miracles and power. But here they're signs, which means a sign points to something. You know, Kent, we've got Central Expressway just right out here.
I love it.
I-75. And there are signs all out there. The sign isn't Central Expressway. It just points us to Central Expressway, to the destination. And each of these miracles are pointing us to God and pointing us to some truth about God. And this changing of water into wine is pointing us to the power of God to change our lives and transform our lives, not in just a superficial external way, but the very depth of our heart and soul, who we are on the inside, to change our mind, to give us now a renewed mind, the mind of Christ, to give us a new heart with new loves and affections and desires, a new disposition, new attitudes, new priorities, and a new will now to obey God. All things have been made new inside of us. And so this miracle that Jesus performed, turning water to wine, is really the first time Jesus pulls back the veil and allows the glory of God to come shining through for these disciples to see really what God is like in a powerful, demonstrative way. And it says that they saw it. Jesus manifested his glory, and his glory is the same as the glory of the Father. And it speaks to the deity of Christ as well, because the Father has glory, the Son has glory. And the disciples, it says, believed in him. I think they have already committed their life to him, but this is just grounding them in deeper faith in the Lord to see this put on display. And so, Kent, as we study like the Gospel of John, each miracle is just manifesting the glory of Christ. Think about it. When he fed the 5,000, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, when he healed the nobleman's son, when he healed the blind man, It's just putting on display the power of God over our lives, the mercy and the love of God to draw near to us and to attend to our needs. And so, Kent, this is glory on display, and it excites our hearts to read the Bible and to see the glory of God, even as if we were standing right there. As we read about these miracles, it's like we were an eyewitness to it as we read God's inspired word. So talk to me, Kent.
Well, I was thinking, did Jesus use this, for lack of a better term, as an attention getter? To get everybody's attention for something greater. Is that what these signs were for?
Well, it certainly had that effect. It's not as though a whole lot of people saw this, because the only people who knew what just happened...
That's interesting.
...are the six men who carried the six water pots, and these disciples who could put two and two together and see what was taking place, right, as they're standing around and next to Christ and probably Jesus's mother also. And there may have been a couple other ladies there with Jesus's mother, but for this first one, it was a rather
small group
that saw this. Now, when he fed the 5,000, and there were probably 20,000 there when you count women and children, that would be a huge observation of the glory of God. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, I mean, there was a crowd there. But here, it's rather intimate and rather limited in who saw this display.
Could you speak now for a minute on how this physical miracle is really an illustration of a greater spiritual miracle?
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that mean, and what's that leading us to, the progression of where Jesus is going with all of this? Because I think you've even said when Jesus lived, there was really nobody sick.
I mean,
he healed everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you said that. Yeah.
No, well, it's quoting from Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield, who was the Lion of Princeton, the great theologian, and who said that disease was virtually vanquished because Jesus is performing so many miracles as he's itinerating throughout Galilee.
Some truth to that.
There's a lot of truth to that. And here... It's really the word signs, S-I-G-N-S. And what this word means, Kent, is it's a miracle with a message.
I like that,
A miracle with a message. There's a message attached to the miracle. God is actually saying something very specific, not just, I'm here, I have power, I have wisdom, I have love and grace, but there's a specific message, truth, spiritual truth that's attached to the miracle. And if we had time to go through John's gospel, we could trace this out. But that's why the very next chapter in John chapter 3, Jesus immediately, abruptly says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. This extraordinary change must take place in your life. And it's parallel with the changing of water into wine. It's like two railroad rails on the tracks running side by side. John chapter 2, John chapter 3. And so that's the message behind the miracle. And really the greatest miracle that God ever performs is not when he turned water into wine. It's when he saved your life and changed your sinful nature and released you from your bondage to sin and called you out of darkness into light and gave you the gift of repentance and faith and opened your spiritual eyes to see the truth and opened your ears to hear the voice of the shepherd calling you to him and gave you just a new disposition, new affections, new loves. That's the greatest miracle that God ever performs. Far greater than this miracle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's what he's done in your life, Kent, what he's done in my life, to take just a piece of dirt and begin to make something beautiful out of our lives. So the question is, has he changed your life? Has he done this miracle of, of the new birth? Has he changed you from the inside out? If you're a Christian, he has. And you may want to see more development and see greater growth. We all do. But just know that it's he who began a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 1, verse 6. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I trust that you have a steadfast hope, that you are anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you greatly this day. Thank you for joining us.